TV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Glasses to view the total solar eclipse on Monday are selling like hotcakes. CBS News correspondent Janet Shamlian visited the American Paper Optics plant near Memphis, Tennessee.
With as many as 15 states in the path of totality, workers here will crank out close to 75 million pair. With just hours remaining, it's all hands on deck. Manufacturing is a combination of individual assembly and high-tech machines. Custom orders come from businesses, colleges, and hospitals like St. Jude's. The Ross Perot Museum ordered more than a million, but there are small batches too.
The Northeast was all shook up after a 4.8 magnitude earthquake yesterday morning and an aftershock in the evening.
A quake strong enough to be felt from Washington, D.C. to New York. Atop the Statue of Liberty, a camera captured the moment the 4.8 shook up the city.
Yo, is this an earthquake?
This live streamer, one of countless people who felt the shaking. In New Jersey, near the epicenter, homes were damaged and water mains broken.
Correspondent Michael George reporting. CBS News confirms CIA Director Bill Burns is in Cairo, Egypt this weekend for hostage negotiations between Israel and Hamas. Some members of Congress are against the U.S. supplying more weapons to Israel. CBS's Natalie Brand reports.
A new letter Friday signed by nearly 40 Congress members asked the administration to reconsider its decision to authorize the transfer of a new arms package to Israel, approved long before the Israel-Hamas war, which includes billions of dollars in bombs and fighter jets. Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland chairs the Foreign Relations Committee.
We have conditionality on all aid to all countries, that it has to be used for the intended purpose, chain of command, things like that.
There is intense flooding in Russia. That's an emergency spokesman in the city of Orsk. Rising waters there caused a dam to burst. Hundreds have been evacuated from their homes. The Final Four takes center stage tonight in men's college basketball. Purdue will take on NC State. The other matchup is UConn versus Alabama. Sports Illustrated reporter Kevin Sweeney.
For Alabama, the strength is their pace and their shooting. I mean, they want to fly up and down the floor, take as many threes as they can, really put pressure on the defense, and have to guard you in ways they don't traditionally have to guard teams.
On the women's side, Iowa beat UConn, and South Carolina easily bested NC State last night. They'll play in the championship game tomorrow afternoon. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Conservationists are split on President Biden's efforts to strengthen the Endangered Species Act. Mike Moan explains.
Environmental and conservation groups voiced strong opposition to the 2019 changes carried out by the Trump administration, arguing they gutted core elements of the longstanding law. Last week, Biden staff announced it's reinstating blanket protections for threatened species, and language dealing with economic interests was removed. Susan Holmes with the Endangered Species Coalition says further action is needed.
The regulation repairs some of the holes, but still leaves some big holes in that safety net.
A change not being reversed is a rollback concerning critical habitat, and Holmes says that poses challenges for migratory species. She points to the comeback of the whooping crane as progress that could be derailed. Republican leaders are critical of the new revisions, saying crucial reforms are being tossed aside. Various industries have long called for looser regulations under the law, and if Trump wins the 2024 race for the White House, it's expected they'll make a renewed push to reverse Biden's changes. Holmes says Congress can help mitigate this back-and-forth cycle by boosting funding for the Endangered Species Act.
We are seeing a shrinking of the amount of wildlife that we have, and because of climate change and the biodiversity crisis, you know, wildlife are really having a hard time.
Other wildlife organizations suggest the Biden administration should have acted much sooner to restore protections. Before publishing the final rules, Federal officials said they received nearly 500,000 public comments. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bauer.
Conversations and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, lots of sunshine and highs in the upper 40s. Mostly clear tonight, lows around freezing. Showers on your Sunday with a high near 46 and winds out of the southeast up to 30 miles per hour. Still breezy Sunday night, a low of 42. Breezy on Monday, partly sunny, 62.
Right now, it's 44.
Home of the Don Rosen Morning Show, weekdays 6 till 8, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
On all your Civic Media stations throughout the great state of Wisconsin. How fantastic it is to be here when things are getting ready for the Wisconsin turkey season. I am so excited about that. Of course, when you go through that lull, Danielle, I cannot handle how that quiet period between the end of like duck and goose season and deer season and turkey season. It drives me so batty. Danielle had an awesome show last week. She had Jack, the Jay Lynx family on, and that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Kenya was awesome. I'm talking about the International Order of Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes.
Yeah, I learned so much. I did not know that existed until last week, and everything I learned from it was just absolutely fantastic. A good, positive business company.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome. The International Order of Teddy Roosevelt. A lot of people don't realize how much President Theodore Roosevelt contributed to the outdoors, and he really was a pioneer as far as presidents go in the conservation area of the outdoors. You know, he was definitely about hunting and putting food from the field to the table, but he was also very much about conservation and proliferation of species. And so Teddy Roosevelt really was a prime example for a lot of the rights and enjoyment we have in the outdoors today. So it was great to have her on the show. And of course, Luke Hilgeman is a great friend of mine, and he is with the International Order of Teddy Roosevelt, where I've been trying to get him on the show for a while. You turn around and boom, you got them on the show right away. So,
well, bam. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave on vacation more often, I guess. I want to talk, though, for a minute about the unbelievable hunt I had in Portugal.
Yes, we were excited. I was building that up last week to hear all about, I'm assuming, of course, you went hunting. You wouldn't go on a trip and not hunt.
Well, for me, it's pretty fun. One of the most amazing things to me is being able to blend one of my biggest joys in life, which is hunting and eating what I kill, with a cultural experience from a different part of the world. Mm-hmm. And when you can do that, there's really nothing that is much more exciting than that to me. So we go, my daughter's senior in college, or senior in high school. She's going to be going off to college, Violet. She's actually in the studio here with my mom. And we wanted to go on her spring break, wanted to take her somewhere special. And as it turns out, it was cheaper to go to Portugal than it was to go to Florida.
What?
No kidding. Like, the tickets to fly, I mean, Anastasia's nodding her head in there. I mean, do you like international travel, Anastasia?
If I could afford it, I would, yeah.
Yeah, well.
But you're right, some of those flights, I mean, I've looked at things that are like, oh, you can get on this 18-hour flight to Lisbon for like $5, but if you want to go one state over, it's going to be an arm and a leg. And I'm like, then I will just go to Lisbon, I guess.
Yeah, right.
I will just leave.
You are, but you hit it on the head. That's exactly what it was. We researched it, and it was cheaper. The flights were cheaper to and from Lisbon, Portugal, than it would have been to go to Florida. And it was cheaper to stay. Like, the Airbnbs there are like $79. It's crazy.
Huh.
It's insane. And the food, you know, if you like international food, it was incredible.
So yeah, that would be my struggle, is the international food. I have no idea how to order things. I don't, I'm like, I don't know. What is this thing? Sure, I'll try it.
I'm going to tell you something, Danielle.
Yes?
I love, you know how I love food. But my stomach is not the way it used to be. It doesn't put up with all the foods the way it used to.
Mm-hmm.
But any country you go in, just about any country, including former Soviet Union countries, they got McDonald's and they got pizza and burgers and simple foods too. Salads. You can always get a salad anywhere you go. You can always get, you pretty much always get chicken and a salad.
I just want the steak.
Almost always get steak wherever you go to. But we went to Portugal and I had a chance to go down to the southern portion of Portugal and hunt for a Barbary sheep, which is something that is kind of native to that region, actually. We call them Audad here in the United States. And so I hunted with Alberto and Javier, who were actually Spanish and hunted in Spain. They came to Portugal. I got to use a little bit of the Spanish that I know with them and had one of the literally most amazing hunts of my life. I shot a beautiful Barbary sheep. We hunted real hard for 2 days. It wasn't a slam dunk. And then one of the coolest experiences was we went to this town called Evora, but in the accent, it sounds like Ebola. They were like, Ebora. And I was like, Ebola? No,
sounds Evora. Very nice.
And we went to eat. I just have to tell you this because it was one of the coolest experiences I ever had. We went to lunch at this place, and it was an old windmill. And why did I have to be 52 years old before I realized that windmills are called windmills because they mill something? And yeah, I know Anastasia is shaking her head. And you know what makes me, I consider myself kind of like a master of trivia, and I really, really should have known this. But they had the millstones there, and when the windmill, when it cranks, when it turns, it moves these millstones, which grind the flour, that grinds the grain into flour, and they make bread. And at this restaurant, they had the windmill going from the 1800s with the grinding stones going, and we're grinding the wheat and barley and making bread that they served you at the lunch at the restaurant.
I want to go
from the 1800s. It was so cool.
That would be awesome to see.
Oh my gosh.
I have never experienced anything like that.
And then we had pickled pig's feet. Or not pickled, pig's feet, which were delicious. And squid or octopus.
Why did you have pig's feet?
It was one of the Portuguese dishes.
I feel like that's
not the
first thing I would go for.
It was delicious.
Give me the pig's feet. That looks delicious. Give me the right foot.
You don't choose which foot. But it was actually quite delicious, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Danielle, you'd have to say front right foot or back right foot. You haven't made enough distinctions yet for the chef to choose from. Duh.
That's where I went wrong. That's why.
I think they're all called hocks, to be honest with you. I think all four are hocks. So if you just order hocks, but you got to order them in a different language. But the good news is most of Portugal really is bilingual. Most of Portugal speaks English and Portuguese and some Spanish. So if you know a little Spanish and some English, you're usually pretty good. And most of the menus have got the English translation.
Oh, that's
on them
nice.
Too. But I mean, what an amazing experience it was. And then you come back here. So that was what I finally, I haven't hunted since Illinois, you know. And so to be able to come, go to Portugal, have a hunt, and then come back and it's turkey season. You know, I mean, it's do or die time. Have you been out scouting?
I have been out scouting, and I actually knocked on 3 farmers' doors. For some reason, turkey hunting is a lot easier for me to knock on doors than goose hunting.
Why?
We went through this already.
I know, but I don't understand the difference between turkey and geese.
I don't know. It's just a lot easier.
Farmers don't like either one of them.
I feel like I have a better chance of getting turkey fields because all of the waterfowl hunters have taken every single field there is known to man.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's
possible. I feel like it's a lot easier because they're not as excited for turkeys as I am. But I knocked on 3 farmers' doors, and I got rejections from all 3.
You did?
I did. All 3.
And what was their reasoning? I'm just curious.
Family.
Family
hunts
hunting,
already. Family hunts. And
so
it was
when
it was
I get the
nice.
Family hunts there already, my next thing is to say, do you think it'd be okay if I hunted after they did?
Yeah, I tried that. And I also brought one of the farmers a pot pie. A pheasant pot pie.
Wow.
Because she doesn't really eat wild game because she never had anybody to cook for it. Like her grandchildren hunt, but she says I never really get food, or when it's offered I don't eat it, whatever it is. So I'm like, here, try this pot pie. It's a pheasant pot pie from Milford Hills when I went for my company work hunt, and she said it was absolutely delicious. So she invited me back over, so I'm kind of hoping that just slide right into the hunting fields. It was like 300 acres, so there's room. But I understand family is family, so.
Oh my gosh, that's interesting.
But the good thing about that field is that it butts up to public land, and it's right by my house. So I'll just maybe sneak in on the public land and hunt, because I can see where the turkeys come in every single day. They're right in the same spot practically every single day. And there's like 3 dozen of them, so.
I think people also underestimate how much turkeys move around when they're breeding. I mean, they'll be in their strut zones, but... And their strut zones become very consistent. But a lot of times those turkeys, when they head off to the woods, you see the dominant toms are in the strut zones. A lot of the subdominant toms, which can even be bigger or have longer beards. I mean, it's not, they don't judge each other based on that stuff. They might, who knows. But those other subdominant toms, they're going to be looking for other hens. And that's why calling works so well and decoying works so well in the spring, is because the subdominant, I mean, I'm out when I hunt, very often I'm hunting the subdominant toms, because, you know, the main area runways, those are often hunted during the youth hunt, or they're hunted by the first couple seasons. So I like going after those birds that are very often kind of on the fringe or kind of out looking for love in a different place. They're going to respond to calls better. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, you know, yes, I've shot some big turkeys. I've shot some not so big turkeys, but they all taste the same. All delicious turkeys.
Yeah, I'm hoping to find my calls from moving. I cannot find some of my hunting stuff at all. So,
well, you know, Belding is coming into town for the turkey hunts this season, and we got some jargon calls in the brand new packaging, the Fan Favorites series, which yours truly got to name.
I'm going
to
sound...
Fan Favorite? You get it? Fan Favorite?
Oh, gosh. I do now.
That makes sense. And then he told me, they trademarked it. They said, what would be a good name? And I said, Fan Favorite, because he's a big baseball fan, too.
Oh, that's perfect.
So we're going to catch a Brewers game. I'm hoping you're going to join us.
That would be wonderful. Today was Chad opening day, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. I believe it was. And are you a baseball fan, winter, Anastasia?
Winter Wonderland.
I like sitting there and watching it and talking, but I mean, I'm not actually that invested in.
Yep,
I'm there about the Brewers. That's it.
Ditto.
I agree. There as much for the social aspect of it as I am. Now, I am a homer, so I like the Brewers, I love the Bucks, and the Packers. You know, but when it comes to actually being a true baseball fan. I mean, I could name all the 1982 Brewers who went to the World Series.
Why 1982? Oh, because they went
to the World Series, and I was a kid, and it was a really big deal at the time. So
I can't.
Hey, before we get, we got to get into break right away here, but I want to tell you, I'm really excited about our guest tonight. Hunter Childs from Farsight Outdoors is going to be joining us. We got him on the StreamYard. He's actually traveling on his way to do some outdoor activities, but we've got him on the StreamYard, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Hunter, and we're going to talk to him about some of why the outdoors is so important to him. Hunter has Asperger's, and he wanted to share with folks how the outdoors is so therapeutic for him, and there really is nobody who should be limited from using the outdoors. And you know, we talk so often about people with diverse abilities and getting into the outdoors and how many healing and awesome properties it has. So when we come back from the break, we're going to have Hunter Childs on with us from Farsight Outdoors. You're listening to Raised in Wisco on your civic media stations throughout Wisconsin. I'm Joel Klavish. Danielle Fairman's next to me. We'll be right back. You want to be tough, better do what you can, so beat it. But you want to be bad, just beat it.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion legislation everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman in the hot seat beside me. And very rare, but I've got Violet Clayfish in the studio. What's up, kiddo? My daughter.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
My little partner in crime. You know, when she was a brand new hunter, we used to call her Viper. So
I like it.
That was her nickname.
I'm hoping to bring it back.
Are you?
Dad, Vipes? Viper?
The Viper.
Vipinator.
But I'm telling you, there is nothing in the entire world better than taking your kid out there and hunting. And we had one. We got Hunter Childs on the line. He's going to be joining us from Farside Outdoors in just a minute here. But I'm going to tell this quick story. Violet and I are out hunting turkeys together, and this turkey comes in. She's shot at 8 turkeys in her life, and she's killed 7. Okay.
Nice. I don't know if that statistic is true. Maybe
it's 100% true.
A little bit flubbed, but
no, it's 100% true. So we're sitting there one day in the fall, and like it's one of those tough days. It's kind of raining, cold, nothing's coming in. All of a sudden, one turkey comes in. She lines up, shoots, and clean misses it.
Oh no!
Clean misses it. This thing takes off, flies away, and she looks at me, and she's so overwhelmingly sad. And I said, well, I'm looking out the front, and I see 50 turkeys. And I said, if we play our cards right, we could have 50 in front of us.
Oh, absolutely.
She had 2 tags, okay? This is 2 fall tags. Pretty soon, no joke, the Spanish Armada of turkeys is in front of us. And I'm like, you just aim really well and take a shot. And so she shoots and she flattens one.
Nice.
I said, you got another tag. You should shoot again if you want.
Yeah.
So she shoots another one.
Adrenaline's pumping. Right. I'm already super excited.
She hits this turkey, but she kind of, she
nicks it. Just a little. New hunter.
She hit it in the legs.
I mean.
So it kind of
take him out at the
off.
Knees, man.
I mean.
Like it was fleeing from the scene. Jeez,
well, so in wanting an ethical kill, and we have a law in Wisconsin, you can assist a mentored hunter with a kill. I run from the blind as fast as I can. I'm chasing
this turkey.
I've
never seen him run before.
Whoa,
other than this moment, my dad, I have never seen him run.
Come on.
So you're not a runner, eh?
What are you trying to say?
It was impressive.
I've run my whole life. Run from you, crazy kid. So I'm running after this turkey, and I hit a cut stalk of corn. And I launch and I land on a cut stalk of corn on my rib.
I think I got it now, yeah.
And I break my rib.
He went down.
He went down. We did. And the funny thing is that the shot she put on it was a lethal shot because eventually the turkey died. We never even had to shoot it again. We did get it. So she got her 2 turkeys and I ended up in the hospital with a fractured rib.
Sounds like a great.
But you know what,
experience.
Dad? You were thrilled beyond belief.
Yes.
With a broken rib.
Aww.
Because there's nothing like going out there with your dear old dad and shooting some turkeys.
It was so awesome.
It was fun.
It was awesome. And to this day, she goes hunting with me, and she even brings her friends along, and we have an awesome time in the field. So getting out there with your kids is phenomenal. Hey, I don't want any more time to pass because I've got Hunter Childs on the line. Hunter, you are the founder of Farside Outdoors, and you spend a ton of your time in the outdoors. And we have you on the show because I want to talk to you about something that's really important to Raised in Wisco, and that is getting folks into the outdoors. Even if folks have, diverse abilities, it's really something that's therapeutic for everybody. Tell me how you started Farside Outdoors.
Well, to be honest, I'd have to go way back in time. It actually was started when my grandfather bought a piece of property up in Webster. We named it Golden Pond, and it ended up, there was one piece of the property we called the Far Side, and that was where some of our best hunts ended up being. And I was trying to think of this thing. Some of the inspirations came from a lot of people, but I just thought, what about Far Side Outdoors? I thought that was a really good idea. And it just seemed to sing really good. And I'm just looking around like, okay, I'm the most addicted person to hunting there is.
Whoa,
so what can I do to get back to...
I don't know.
I may not be the richest hunter, but I get out a lot more than some people I know.
Hey, that's a different type of rich, so it's all right.
Yeah, you know what? We are all wealthy, those of us who get to enjoy the outdoors, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. But I've taken a lot of people out hunting. I took a couple kids out on youth duck hunts. That's really where Thrive is, in the waterfowl business. But the most fun I've had is taking people out ice fishing. Like, I coach my old high school team, and I get to take people out fishing every winter. So
wait,
that really makes me happy
team?
Every year.
You coach
yeah,
your old
you
high
know,
school team?
I was there. Yeah, no, like the first year the ice fishing team started was my freshman year of high school. So I ended up being a member of that until I graduated. And then after a while, you know, I got sick of sitting around, and I called the coach back. I'm like, do you think I could come in and teach these kids how it's done? And
oh, no.
Long term, I definitely planned on taking people out. I just didn't know if I could do it for a living. It was the biggest challenge I ran through.
Well, we've got to start heading to a break already, Hunter, but I appreciate it. Hunter has got a little bit of a rough connection. He's actually on his way up to Webster to do a little fishing up there, and we're going to try to get a better connection with him during the break. And we want to talk to him a little bit about some of his challenges in life and the things that he's overcome to be able to get out in the outdoors. I think it's never been more important for us to make folks aware that the outdoors of Wisconsin and every state you're in is really something that is healing properties, is therapeutic, and good for everybody. That's why on Raised in Wisco, we focus so much on taking excuses away. Get out in the outdoors. Do what you can while you're out there. Enjoy everything you can about it, because I know Danielle, sitting across from me, we've known each other for, 20-plus years, and there's no better way to relax than getting outside and yes, sitting in a blind or in a boat.
That's very true. It's absolute therapy out there. I love it so much, and I cannot get enough of it. That's why I'm ready for turkey season.
Yeah, I can't
And now
wait.
May have to go up fishing or waterfowl hunting up there and with Hunter right here.
Yeah, I know. We're going to talk to Hunter about setting up some hunts. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco on your Civic Media stations.
Don Rosen in the morning and your home for the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
CBS News Brief. Monday's total solar eclipse is going to be a total moneymaker for many businesses, including in Idabel, Oklahoma, which is in the path of totality. Jackie LaCrone is executive director of the Chamber of Commerce.
Restaurants, they're going to be at full capacity. Our food trucks, everybody is going to see very good sales.
After yesterday's earthquake and aftershock that jolted millions in the Northeast, one shop is making T-shirts declaring, "I survived the NYC earthquake." Carrie Colley owns Big Frog Custom T-Shirts.
This is just a fun shirt. It's definitely cheaper than our regular shirts.
that, you know, we want fun, we want people to come into the store, and although we are running out of the original color, we can do almost anything from extra small to 5XL.
North Carolina State is taking on Purdue in the men's Final Four tonight. Sports Illustrated reporter Kevin Sweeney.
They're one of those teams that has peaked at the right time. They have guards who can really make tough shots, and then DJ Burns, who's been sort of the star of this NCAA tournament.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
The Brewers with another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Mariners 6-5 at AmFam Field. Home runs by Christian Yelich, Willy Adames, and Brewers third baseman Oliver Dunn on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
26 years of age now, fourth year in the big leagues. That ball's hit well right field. Oliver Dunn is going to watch this one fly. How about it? His first big league homer. Oliver Dunn makes it 3-0. What a moment for him as he rounds.
NBA, the Bucks lose at home to the Raptors, 117-111. Toronto able to end a 15-game losing streak. That's the Bucks' third loss in a row this week to teams like the Wizards, the Grizzlies. Doc Rivers.
Yeah, the last three were against three bad teams, you know, and to me that's inexcusable for all of us. As I told them, I said, this is on me. I got to figure out what we got to do to play at a higher pace, especially the second quarter. Second and third quarter were crushers for us.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, lots of sunshine and highs in the upper 40s. Mostly clear tonight, lows around freezing. Showers on your Sunday with a high near 46 and winds out of the southeast up to 30 miles per hour. Still breezy Sunday night, a low of 42. Breezy on Monday, partly sunny, 62.
Currently, 46 degrees.
Ready to hit a home run at your next tailgate or special event? Step up to the plate with Danny's Meats and Catering. They're your MVP to irresistible box lunches. Become the game day grill master with the Danny's Freezer Pack full of meat selections. Whatever the occasion, Danny's has you covered with a winning lineup of top-notch venue, catering, and Hickory Hall packages that will knock it out of the park. Why settle for anything less than a grand slam? Swing by 4 Mile Road in Racine or cateringbydanny.com.
Get ready for a triple play of selection, service, and convenience with Studebaker's in Racine. Around the horn we go, from refreshing sips to snack sensations. Studebaker's great selection is the fuel to keep you going. Great service is a game changer, and the team is ready to knock it out of the park for you. In our store, or sliding into Studebaker's convenient drive-thru, where fast meets fantastic. Swing by Studebaker's Field and Food at 31 and Spring in Racine for the winning team of selection, service, and convenience.
Now you can shop local without leaving your chair. The WRJN Big Deals are here, and you can save from 30 to 50% on great local food, entertainment, and merchandise. Log on to WRJN.com and click on the Big Deals tab. You'll find savings on Fred's Burgers, Personal Touch by Julie Flores, and Lee's Deli. It's easy, it's local, and you'll save 30 to 50%. It's at WRJN.com. Click on Big Deals.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator, majority leader in the state senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Like a grand slam on your radio dial. Home of the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yo, what's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. That over there is Danielle Fairman.
Hello. I wish we were going live because I brought my duck mask in. And I know you're so excited to wear it, Joel. I know you want to.
Danielle brought, she wishes we had video attached to the show because she brought this like silicone, I think it is silicone. giant duck head, which is, it's not a mask. It's like an entire duck head. It's a mallard duck green head. And it's one of those like creepy things that people wear in like in horror movies. You know, when they were like horse head masks.
Yep.
Head pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know what I'm talking about, Anastasia?
No, I get it. Yeah. This like is those horrifying.
Looks like a scene out of The Godfather.
Yeah, right. Right. Where they put the dead horse on someone's head. That's I don't know what compels a person to buy one of those or think that they're gonna
I'm gonna put it on Bandit while we're duck hunting. So he blends in.
Okay.
If you wear that in the duck blind with me, I will give you $20 personally.
Do not challenge me. Like that's just a given. I would do it. Would have done it already.
Hunter,
I'm so ready for this.
Hunter Childs from Farside Outdoors is on the line with us. Also, I want to let you know that Danielle Fairman goes noodling.
Oh yeah.
So she's not afraid of anything.
No.
She is not afraid of anything, and frankly, from time to time, frightens me. So,
if you say I can't do it, it's going to be done.
Yeah. Well, and that's not that is not a horrible way to look at life. To be honestly, there are many people who did not believe many of the things I would be able to do in life, and and that's kind of a lot of times what really gets in folks' way when they are out trying to get permissions or trying to find places to hunt. They're afraid of the no. Well, all I can tell you is if you don't ask, you automatically get a no.
Yep.
So, Danielle, do you have a spot to turkey hunt yet?
I just have public land. I haven't found an actual spot yet. Okay. That's private.
Well, there's a lot of great turkey hunting in Wisconsin on public land, so I would not.
Yeah, I've been looking. I live in Eagle now by the Kettle Moraine South. And I've been walking through there and seeing a few turkeys quite a few times. So, but I have the third or fourth? I had the fourth season. So it's going to be a no-go for me. I'm thinking.
Oh, you'll be fine.
But
there's
we'll see.
Plenty of turkeys around. Hunter Childs, do you have a turkey tag?
I am getting one over the counter as soon as my tax returns come in. I'm going to try and get 3 seasons worth of it.
3 seasons. Ah, nice.
Well, there you go. So Hunter Child from Farside Outdoors on the line with us, and you and I had a chance to talk, get to know each other a little bit. I got hooked up with Hunter because of Senator Rob Stachelt, who is the chairman of the Sporting Heritage Committee in the Senate.
Good dude.
And he was saying that Hunter is someone who is a friend of his who's very interested in the outdoors, and he's got his own, you know, kind of outdoor organization, Farside Outdoors. And what Hunter shared with me is that Hunter has Asperger's. And one thing that's incredibly important to me is that we make sure that those with diverse abilities have chances to get into the outdoors and participate in some of the fantastic things in Wisconsin. How important would you say, Hunter, that it is for folks who have diverse abilities to be able to experience things in the outdoors?
I mean, I think it's more important than anything, because without hunting and fishing, it's like, what are you going to do with your life? I mean, it's one, it's healthier for you. Two, you're not sitting in the house playing video games all day long.
Oh, yeah.
And I've known some people with diverse abilities where hunting and fishing has actually saved their life. You know, like something could have happened to them and they took the hunting and fishing route and now they're living the cleanest life they can live, you know?
Boy, that is a really good point. Now, at what point you shared with me that you have Asperger's? Can you explain to the audience, the folks listening, a little bit about what that is and how it affects your life?
Basically, the way I always describe it is you don't think like everybody else. What makes sense to you is a foreign concept to other people. Like, you think in pictures. Certain words will make you think of certain things. I mean, the list goes on and on. There are different severities of it. I mean, Asperger's is like a mild form of autism, if you want to look that word up too. I mean, a lot of people have it. Some people don't realize they have it. I mean, I found out I had it when I was in second grade, I believe it was, and it hasn't crippled.
I'm sorry, how old
it's,
were you?
Things a little challenging, but I was like 8 or 9, I think it was. That was second grade for me.
Okay. And so how did that affect, you know, your life, and how did you find the outdoors to be something that was so good for you and so important you know, to pursue in your life?
Well, I was a kid. I mean, I always grew up around hunters. My entire pretty much.
Hey,
school early, and you'd get to hang out at duck camp.
Unfortunately, yeah. Repeat that for us. We lost. We had some technical difficulties there for a second.
Yeah, no. Like my family on my dad's side, they pretty much duck hunted for the whole eon of their lives. And when I was a kid, it was always go hunting. You know, get out of school and go hunting a day early. That was always something I looked forward to.
Do you think that, I mean, how much effort do you think should be put into making sure people who have disabilities or who may have Asperger's or autism, you know, get chances to get out there and go fishing or hunting or hiking or climbing? How important is that?
To me, it's about as important as taking care of, you know, our veterans. You know, we should be able to give everybody the opportunity to go hunting and fishing. It's a skill that you should at least know, in my opinion, but it's also something that can be used to bond with your friends and family. It's something that everybody should be doing.
So tell me about Farsight Outdoors. What do you hope to accomplish with that?
My goal is, you know, through the video sense of it, my goal is to show people things that they may not get to see every day. Like, there's times where I'm floating a river and I'll see like 6,000 mallards in a little pocket somewhere, or I'll see a big 10 pointer standing in the middle of the river. You know, I'll see one every 6 miles of river flow, let's say. I want to be able to show people that and get people thinking, man, I would really love to do that.
Now, you say in video aspect, do you have like a YouTube or you post all this on social media? What's the video?
Yes. Yeah, I have a YouTube channel. I'm on TikTok. I mean, I'm trying to match everybody, but on the YouTube channel, I'm fortunate enough to get some unique opportunities out now and then. Last fall, I was able to post my buddy shooting an elk up in Clam Lake, Wisconsin, and that's been you need to watch that. That's the only good elk hunt I've seen on YouTube in Wisconsin so far.
So does YouTube like prevent you from posting a lot of videos? Is there certain things you're not allowed to upload on there? Well, obviously, you know, certain things, but like for hunting aspect, like, are you allowed to shoot the animal on video and process it all on video?
Yeah, I got a video up on YouTube where I'm taking the hide off a deer, and they haven't taken that down yet. So it's not something that they're against yet. I mean, everybody's still doing it. If you look at channels like Meat Eater or The Hunt in Public, they're still doing it. They're just trying to find ways around it. I mean, eventually there's going to be more policies that'll prevent this, but for now, this is the best option we got.
Like, I feel with social media for Instagram and Facebook, they are preventing even you posing with a dead animal that you harvested. Because I got flagged a couple times already with that. I'm like, seriously, it's a deer. It's a turkey. Like, why am I getting banned for this?
Yeah, the only place I've really gotten flagged for that was on TikTok. But it just seems like they're really not on the same page with us Midwesterners at all. You know?
Definitely not. And TikTok is banning so many things right now. And especially with music. I've been trying to post on TikTok for music for the radio show. And a lot of the music I don't have the rights to, so I can't post anything with the radio show.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, I remember when you could post any song you wanted on there, and now it's just...
Oh no, yeah, we keep losing you.
We keep. I wish you weren't traveling. He's on his way, and we keep the signal keeps coming in and out. But I think these are some things that we need to talk about, and it takes me in a direction that is something that I want to talk to folks about. You know, it is election day here in Wisconsin, and all of those things we're talking about, what you're allowed to post, what your rights are when you're in the woods in the waters of the United States, what you're allowed to hunt with, those laws are all determined by people who are in elected office. And, you know, today's an election day, and throughout the state of Wisconsin and this country, one of the groups of voters who vote the least is sportsmen and women. And that is so frustrating to me. I can't even tell you how frustrating to me it is that so few people who use the outdoors and prioritize the outdoors actually prioritize getting into the voting booth. You know, we've got leaders like Senator Stafshult, who come on the show. We've got leaders, you know, across this state who don't really know even about the outdoors. They're not hunters. They're not fishermen. They're not necessarily campers or rock climbers or canoeists or kayakers. Sideways banana users. But the bottom line is we really need to make sure people who use the outdoors and think the outdoors are important are informed about the choices they're making when they vote for people who make the laws. And I think that's really what's going to determine the future of our, not only our sports, but our heritage. I mean, Hunter, you know, you're talking about some of the things they're banning you from showing. Nobody ever bans a cooking channel for taking a package of ground beef and using it. Well, that ground beef doesn't show up in a package at the grocery store. That is from an animal that was killed, yep. and that meat was removed from that animal. So I think it's not only ethical, but I also think it's our obligation to show that part. And if that makes you uncomfortable a little bit, that's also okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's okay to be slightly uncomfortable with the fact that taking a life is a big endeavor and it's a big deal. And it's also why it's important to show people it's that processing that and turning it into food that's going to end up on your table is an ethical choice.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot lately on social media of people going up to hunters out on public land saying that you are a killer, you do this, you're a horrible person, you deserve to go a certain place.
And then they turn around and go to McDonald's and eat their hamburger.
And then that's always the comeback is like, well, where did you get that burger you just ate?
I'm pretty sure they cook them up in science labs now, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That mystery meat.
It is one of the most frustrating things to me is when people are critical. And fortunately, in the state of Wisconsin, because of organizations like the International Order of Teddy Roosevelt and Safari Club, because of those type of organizations in Wisconsin, we have hunter harassment laws. But I'm going to tell you something. And thank God for farmers. And there's no ethical issues whatsoever with farmers who provide us with beef and grains and vegetables that we get at the grocery store. They're a fantastic part of society and very much underappreciated, in my opinion. But it is an ethical choice, a very ethical, a highly ethical choice to say, I'm going to harvest my own meat or protein that I'm going to put on the table. Mm-hmm. And if you have difficulty, you know, taking the life of an animal, that's an understandable thing.
Yes.
You know, that is an understandable thing to take a life of something. It's a big deal.
That's why my first one was a squirrel.
And I'll bet you still felt a certain amount of remorse over it when you killed it.
Yeah, I did. I did. I definitely held it. I'm like, oh, little fella. Yes.
And then,
all right, I'm hungry.
And then when you put it on the table. Anya, Danielle has a unique way of looking at things, doesn't she?
I'm still thinking about the skunk I hit with my car like 6 years ago. I'm like,
6 years
poor
ago.
Guy.
Well, you probably can still smell it.
That's a couple cars ago, but in my mind, yeah.
But I think that I think our ethical obligations actually lend itself to the interest of being a hunter and gatherer. And what is provided in the land we live in and how lucky we are to live in a state that has got so many opportunities for game, for forage, for mushrooms, wild asparagus, you name it.
I'm ready for more owls.
I know. We're going to wrap this up. We got one segment left already. The show's flying by. We're going to wrap it up and talk a little bit about what you can do to get out in the turkey woods. You're listening to Raising Wisco on your Civic Media station.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare with yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, and Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of civic media to continue this journey. So won't you listen in and even be part of the discussion? Tune your radio to 1400 AM or 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. You can always stream the show live by downloading the Civic Media app.
The Lou Regani Show, Sundays 7 till noon on WRJN.
You're listening to WRJN, Racine and Kenosha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. Joel Clapish here, Danielle Fairman there.
Here.
Got my mom in the studio.
This
got
is
my
very
daughter
exciting.
Violet in the studio hanging out.
Family day for you.
And I love it, man. I love
family's
it.
Family's around.
Yeah, it is always great when family's around. Hunter Childs from Farside Outdoors is chilling with us today, talking about how important it is to make sure opportunities for folks with disabilities it is to get them into the outdoors.
So before we accidentally lose Hunter again, I need you to tell me about how can I look up your YouTube social media and how can I come out duck hunting with you?
Anybody, not just me. Well, Joel can give you my number, but if you want to look up my channel, go on YouTube and look up Farside Outdoors CO and look for the white logo. There's a mallard duck on there. There's coyote tracks and there's crappie swimming around.
Oh,
that
nice.
Logo you cannot miss.
Yeah, repeat that for us. Let's have our listeners be able to look you up on YouTube.
Farside Outdoors Co., and it's a white logo. You'll see crappie swimming around. You'll see coyote tracks, and you'll see ducks flying around. You can't miss it.
Hunter, do you have Instagram, too? A Facebook, Instagram? Can people hook up with you that way?
I got a Facebook, too. It's basically the same name. It's the same logo and everything. That's another easy way to get a hold of me. I'll be waiting for messages from all of you, by the way.
Perfect.
And it actually, I'm definitely going to correct you here. You do have a very nice logo, but it's Farside Outdoors 2023. Handle.
Yeah, wow. That's the one handle I got.
Yeah. Well, I just looked you up on YouTube, so. And now you have a new subscriber, so.
Yeah, if you.
Don't mess you with Danielle. She's like the master of social media, so.
No shame in my social media game.
There's no shame in her social media game or her.
Joel, I wanted to comment on Teddy Roosevelt. When I was in elementary school, I actually played Teddy Roosevelt in a wax museum we did at our school.
What?
Well, okay, that's going to start an entire can of. You played Teddy Roosevelt in a wax museum. Did they have to make you like look like a wax figure of Teddy Roosevelt?
Yeah, I literally just had to stand still and wear clothes that were at least similar to him. So I kind of looked like a rough rider in that one. They painted a mustache on me. It was fun.
I mean, I was George Washington in mine. They assigned us. They didn't let us
and
pick.
And tonight you had the latex.
I could see
duck
you. I could
on,
see
so.
You being George Washington.
Thank you. Because I love peanut butter so much.
You know, George Washington had wooden teeth.
Well, look at my unique teeth.
I got to stop you for a second. I think Anastasia and I this might be the day that she and I are on the same page more than ever before.
It's black letter day, truly.
We looked at each other when you said, I love peanut butter. What does that have to do with George Washington?
Are you George Washington Carver, Danielle,
who Carver.
Invented peanut butter?
Yeah.
Not the president?
Oh,
yes.
Not President George. Wow. Wow. That, okay. That's
like having seven people named Hunter in the same classroom. It gets really confusing.
Yes. And then do you think, though, I've always said to myself that I think a given name definitely has something to do with your destiny. I have really always believed that. And I think if you are named Hunter, I think you have a higher propensity in life to become a hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know a lot of hunters who don't even hunt, honestly, and it was just a cool name that my mom thought would be good. So that's kind of
how
that started.
Well, your mom and obviously six other moms and dads thought that would be a good name. So, but
I just happened to be in a family of people who like to hunt, and whether it was my grandpa Rooster, God rest his soul, or it was
now,
my
Rooster, grandpa Rooster. That was not his given name, was it?
No, it wasn't his given name. His name was actually Jim, but because of our love for John Wayne movies, we started calling each other Rooster.
His name was actually Jim. Hey, Jim.
Well, I have a story. You know what? That kills me because my grandfather fought in World War I, came to this country, first-generation American. His name was Vincenzo Tiafolo, went through Ellis Island, and they called him, and they said, that's too much, Jim. It's not Vincenzo, we're going to call you Jim. He was Jim the rest of his life. The poor guy had the most like beautiful Mediterranean name on earth, Vincenzo Tiafolo, and he ended up Jim.
Sounds like a name of somebody in John Gotti's crew.
Yeah, right. Well, that is true. But, you know, and it's not like Jim's a bad name. My dad's name was Jim. I mean, James, Jim. But if you're Vincenzo and you get stuck with Jim.
I mean, it's funny. Being Richard.
It's funny how this works.
That is definitely because... worse if your name's Richard and you end up with one of those, like Rick.
My grandpa's name is Jim. My dad's name is Jim. And I ended up being Hunter.
Oh, that's very interesting. And so your grandpa, whose Jim is Rooster, is your dad having your dad, Jim, have a nickname?
I don't remember what nickname we gave him. I think it was just Jimmy to keep it interesting.
Sure. I mean, Jimmy Rooster and the crew, I guess. That sounds like a movie from the 90s.
Yeah, no, we were big John Wayne fans. That's how he got his nickname, Rooster. He came home from a fishing trip with a black eye, and I said, just let's give you an eye patch. We can start calling you Rooster now.
That is very often how those kind of things work. Well, here's the deal. I wish you, we got only a few minutes left on the show, but Hunter Childs from Farside Outdoors, I wish you the best. I thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us the importance of making sure everybody has an opportunity for the outdoors. Yes, go ahead.
No, I think we're definitely going to be talking more in the future, buddy. It was really good to talk to you guys, despite the traveling man I was tonight. I was expecting to just stay home and have a cup of coffee, but life had other plans for me. But
hey, man,
We should definitely do this again, and if Chad and you have a minute, you guys can stop up and have a cup of coffee with me. I'm serious. You guys are more than welcome.
Well, I appreciate that offer, and, you know, I do love a good cup of coffee, but they got some great cups of coffee in Portugal. Yeah. I'm telling you, European coffee. Oh. All right, well, we just lost Hunter Childs again, but we muscled through it, and we appreciate him being on the show, and how much time we got left in the site? Just 1 minute Danielle. Danielle, what are you doing to make sure you got a turkey spot this week? I want to know. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I'm going to go knock on some more doors.
Danielle.
I have off tomorrow again because of the darn weather. I can't operate in this weather.
That's true. You cannot operate in this weather. Why don't we figure out go scouting tomorrow morning? You want to do that?
We can have coffee.
Let's do it. Danielle and I are going to scout together tomorrow. We can get some good coffee and call Hunter Childs and tell him about it. Thanks to Rob Staffel for helping us set it up with Hunter Childs from Farside Outdoors. It's been a great week, as always. Listen to all your civic media stations throughout Wisconsin. I'm Joel. That's Danielle. This is Raised in Wisco. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Your home for the Bucks. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Monday at Nightlight, I welcome Madison comedian Johnny Beaner. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now you can shop local without leaving your chair. The WRJN Big Deals are here, and you can save from 30 to 50% on great local food, entertainment, and merchandise. Log on to WRJN.com and click on the Big Deals tab. You'll find savings on Marcy's on Main, Racine Youth Sports, and the Peach Cobbler Factory. It's easy, it's local, and you'll save 30 to 50%. It's at WRJN.com. Click on Big Deals.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine,
W251BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. 13 states are in the path of totality for next week's eclipse, including Ohio.
Monday's solar eclipse
most definitely qualifies as a major event.
And Ohio Governor Mike DeWine says his state is bracing for potentially hundreds of thousands of visitors. Communities have been preparing.
But there's no way around the fact that there will be incredibly heavy traffic and very large crowds.
DeWine says the Ohio Emergency Operations Center will help communities deal with issues that arise before, during, or after Monday's solar eclipse. He's not calling in the National Guard, but
they are ready.
DeWine says it was 1806 when a total eclipse last crossed Ohio's path. The next time will be 2099. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
A 4.8 magnitude earthquake.